So here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. Back live over the internet. This is, as usual, simulcast with a conference call. We have some people on the phone line. We're still 5 minutes away from the hour. I welcome the early birds online. Thank you for being here. And we will continue to greet the callers. We had just somebody else joined in. We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
It's Carla in Medicine Hat, Alberta.
Hello, Carla. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Hayes. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Carla.
Hi, Wanda.
You didn't call me back.
So I haven't seen the announcement email yet. Call. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Terry in Dallas.
Hey, Terry. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Hello, Hayes. Doing well.
All right. Thank you for being here.
We're going to have a triple Terry tonight.
We're going to have a what?
Triple Terry, three Terrys.
Hope so.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Morgan in California.
Good evening to you, Morgan. Welcome to the call. How are you?
I'm doing a little better. Thank you.
All right. I hope it will keep going better for you.
I know. Me too. Thank you.
All right.
Donna in Great Falls, Montana.
Good evening, Donna. How are you doing, sister?
I'm doing wonderful. How is everyone this evening?
Fine.
Fabulous.
Doing well.
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Me too.
Is it snowing there, Donna?
No, we actually had 40 degrees today. We're trying to get rid of our ice we've had.
Oh, yeah.
We're one of the ones that got hit first with the frigid weather. It snowed, but it stayed but like 30 below zero. So we're finally warming up.
Wow.
Oh. Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Jeannie in Citrus Heights, California.
Good evening, Jeannie. Welcome to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Hi, how are you?
Yes, fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Rod.
And welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
How's Don in Northern Ohio? Hi, hi, everybody.
Good evening, Don.
Hello.
The next caller, I welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Percy, North Carolina.
Good evening to you, Percy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
I have been saying prayers for all of you that are caught up in the bad storm.
John. Thank you very much, Donna.
You're welcome.
All right. And somebody else joined in. We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Hey, John. Good evening to you. How are you doing?
Hi.
All right. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Marilyn, how are you?
I'm.
All right. Thank you for being here. And welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
It's Cleo in Connecticut. Hi. How are
Cleo,
you?
Cleo, good evening to you. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. And we are gloating, getting close to 6 o'clock California time. I welcome all those people that are joining in online. Thank you for being here. Here we have somebody else joining in on the conference call. Please say your name and location.
It's Kim in Florida. Hi, how you doing?
Yes, fantastic, Kim. Thank you for being here. How are you?
Good, thanks.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hello.
But the giant planet is coming in behind Saturn right now.
What's coming in, but they say that, Miranda? Are you talking to the phone, Damananda, or are you talking in your house?
I'm talking to you.
Let's say it again.
Did you hear about the giant... Did you hear about the giant body behind the solar system right now?
Your line is
Planet X, you know,
I didn't copy it. Something coming into the solar system.
Yeah. Giant body behind Saturn is system right now.
All right. I welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. And it is 6 o'clock. We have a bunch of people here on the phone line, and hopefully also a bunch of people online on BBS Radio. We welcome you all. Thank you for being here. And Wynn might be on the road. I'm not certain. Okay, we do have a announcement email. The topic is questions.
That's all that I can this time.
I welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Julianne in San Diego.
Hello, Julianne. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. More people joined in. We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hello, Marilyn. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. And you?
Yes, fantastic. Thank you so much. All right. We might have had another caller join in. If so, we feel free to say your name and location. All right.
Hi,
Terry. Good evening. How are you?
Hi. Good, thank you.
All right. Good to have you here.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Terry, is Wynn still on the road?
No, he's here.
Okie doke.
We're both on the road.
Okay.
Somebody called in that they were
long and winding road.
The first time in America that got that
adventurous too, probably
coming over from Alaska or wherever it's coming, and they said they got 6 feet of snow.
Yep.
And it's
so again, I welcome all those people who are listening in online to BBS Radio. You are about to start.
I knew it from Buffalo. Ever been on the call? Do you know Ice?
Pardon me, Don, what was your question?
Do you know if anybody from Buffalo has been on the call ever?
I don't know if there's anyone from Buffalo. I can ask. Hello, folks. Is there anyone here from Buffalo? Anyone with wings?
I grew up in Rochester, which was 60 miles from Buffalo, and we got some heck of a large snowstorm there.
All right. Well,
Buffalo's getting all the attention, though. They're 5 feet.
Yeah, they're going to get more.
All right. We had two more people join in on the phone line. Please say name a location.
This is Steve in West Palm Beach, 64 degrees.
Oh, 64 degrees. Hey, Steve, welcome to the call.
Are you bragging or complaining?
I'm not bragging from where I'm sitting.
Just stating facts, right?
Cold and rainy here.
It's actually been warming up in Cleveland. Got up over freezing finally.
All right. We had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Wynn.
Wynn, good evening to you. Glad to hear your voice.
Terry?
Yeah.
Are you on a speaker?
Yeah, I'm on a speaker because my earphones wouldn't charge.
It's not going to work. You can't be on a speaker.
Oh.
In the same room.
At this point, Terry sounds great, but you don't, Wynn. You sound in the background.
Yes.
Well, hold a second. We're having our usual. I shouldn't confess. Terry, you gotta shut that down, man. Wait a second. Okay. Now, he's still in the speaker.
I guess we have to use the phone.
I'll go in your car. Okay, I don't need to know. You know, go in the car. Can you pair my iPhone? Here we are, our usual getting together at 7:05. So go in the car, okay? And well, take your computer with you and charge it in the car, okay? Or else, what, the one I got you?
Yeah.
Okay. We're talking about this to everybody. Everybody's listening to what this is. This is
you sound muffled.
Yeah, Vince can barely hear you.
You can barely hear him.
Great.
Terry sounds great.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Is this better?
Yep.
Yes, better.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay. Is that acceptable?
Barely.
Yeah.
Barely better.
Okay. Well, is that better now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So here's all our excuses for the day. And all of you have these desperate... Terry, hurry, because we got a lot of questions for tonight.
Vin, I still don't like it.
Well, you know, here's the deal, Hive. My cell phone keeps turning off.
Okay.
That's staying on. I can try to get on it, but hang on. And I'm on Skype, and I don't have my normal microphone. So hang on. Now my cell phone.
We should learn telepathy.
I should learn.
Yeah.
I'm good at telepathy.
Oh.
Okay. I could like 7 o'clock. I could just sit here. Okay. I feel you all. I got a feeling you're gonna be disappointed. You know what? We're in Mesa. Terry's going to the dentist. I came to, which I do sometimes in case she comes out in pain tomorrow. And it's 6 o'clock, and she said, "Oh, I'm hungry." I mean, it's 5 o'clock, I should say, and I'm hungry. And I'm saying, "Well, we don't have time." But my thing is low, and then we come back, and her battery is not charged. So my phone doesn't turn on, and I'm on Skype. It's the only way to get on. I'm trying to use my phone just in case it starts. Here we go. Let's see here. It's staying on right now. But, okay. Hang on a second. I'll stay on Skype, and then I'll be on my phone as well. And my phone is staying on. And maybe we fixed it, okay?
All right.
Well, wait a second. Wait a second. So now I'll dial in on the other line, but I don't... All right. Hang on. And Terry's going to the car. So, hang on. Wait a second. I bet George Norrie doesn't have this problem. But that's why he makes the big bucks, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got employees to do all this for him.
Hang on. Okay, now, hang on a second.
Is this better?
Yeah, let me mute your Skype. Hold on, I got your Skype muted.
Okay.
Say something, Vin.
Vin, speak up.
Testing. Here I am, testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's better.
It's better, but good enough.
It's better, but not great.
Right?
And I can assure you that with 100% certainty. The other guess of what this anomalous giant object could be is the beginning formation.
All callers are muted.
All right. Vin, you're a moderator? Yes, you are.
Okay, I'm in the car. How do I sound now?
Fantastic, Terry. Welcome back.
Okay, thank you.
Vin, are you alive? Can't hear you. In case you wonder. All right, let's see.
Wait, we are both in Mesa.
All right.
You win? Are you back?
Hello, I'm back.
You sound way in the background. Are you on your phone line or are you on Skype?
I'm on Skype.
Oh, hold on. Your Skype is muted. Wait. Okay. Skype is open.
Testing 1212.
Yes.
Is that good?
That's good enough.
Is it better?
No, worse.
Okay. All right.
Terry, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
All right.
Your phone give up?
No. On my phone?
Yes.
Yeah. Not for that.
Hey, this sounds good now, Wynn. Let's do it.
Okay. Terry, are you settled down? Are you settled down?
Yeah, I got my phone. It's on charge. I'm in the car. I'm on the car charger, and I can't use the headset because the charger didn't charge it. I had it on charge for an hour, but it didn't charge it.
I see. All right.
So anyway, we're here. This is we're on the road.
Obviously, we're on the road. I'm reading here. We got a question from Lucas, kind of similar to the question.
Let's start the recorder, winner, right?
Yesterday, yes. Yeah. Start the recorder. Thank you, Heis.
This conference is being recorded.
All right. Thank you all. We're about 12 minutes late starting the recorder. Terry and I are on the road, and it's one of those days where something can go wrong. It will go wrong, so my phone keeps shutting itself off, and I'm on Skype, which tends to not be quite as clear as my cell phone, at least with this particular microphone, okay? And Terry is in the car because she didn't charge her phone, and so everything is wrong. But
not everything. We're here.
Well, we're here, but you know what? It's a great exercise in coping with the future. Going with the flow, okay? And we're going to get ready for our questions. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. And Terry, you making too much noise. Gotta stay perfectly still because every time you move your phone, it goes into the microphone. Okay, Terry?
I'll try.
Okay, you're quiet now. And right now, we see ourselves in the flow of energy, moving from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us present, while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And right now, while we have this energy together, we send our love light, our group energy, to our planet. We send it to the Earth. We send it to the Sun. We send it to all those people reaching for spirit. We send it to our sources, and we invite our sources to introduce themselves. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are here this 19th of November, 2014, and it is our honor and our joy to be with you, each and every one of you who is with us, whether it is in present time on the original call or on the replay line or reading a transcript. It is the energy that we imbue with the numbers, with the given moment or phone or other line is ringing, and give us a moment to get back. And we are here with each and every one of you, and we come directly to you. We do not come through the telephone line. We do not come through the radio. We do not come through the computer. We come directly to you, and we sense your energy. Each one of you has a specific frequency of energy that is based upon how you relate to your surroundings and the experiences from the past and the past lives that you have gone through. And you have your own particular energy and energy signature. And we are able to come to you and identify you by your soul signature. And we are with you and pleased to be of any assistance that we can. Do you have questions?
Yes, from Carl Bogenheim in Santa Fe, New Mexico. He asked this question about...
What is the name?
Carl. Carl Bogenheim.
Carl.
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 Yes. And he asked about cremation. And we have asked a number of questions about this, Carl. So your question is good. I just, to bring people up to date, there has been the question about whether one should be cremated or not, or what happens to the soul. And it was indicated, in general, the soul tends to hang around the physical body. And when the body is cremated, it helps release the soul from the physical realm. Although another time they said, sometimes the soul, it's good, they seem to indicate that it was good for the soul to hang around for the body for a while until it decided to leave. And so Carl's question is there any reason not to have cremation after one dies? Or, you know, another question is, what would you recommend as the best choice before you die regarding a cremation and non-cremation?
Thank you. The question on cremation is individual. Each individual is totally different. There are individuals who, when they die, they transition and go to the other side. That's where you get the near-death experiences, where one goes to the other side and then comes back, but some people go to the other side, and if they stay there, then it doesn't matter because they have given a goodbye to the body. They have transitioned. Other people need to be near the body to get the experience of going in and out of the body. And it takes some people time. So we recommend that you respect the person's wishes when they pass on. What is it that they have said that they would prefer to happen? Person's wishes indicate how in the future they are going to handle the transition and give you a little bit of a clue as to whether it would be better for cremation or for give us a moment, the phone is ringing. It comes through as a buzz and there's no way to stop it. So each individual is different in their wishes and in the way they handle the death experience. Some people need to stay by the body for a few days and then it can be cremated. If one were very sensitive and they could see, sense the spirit, then they would know when it was time to cremate the person. And the cremation does allow for the individual to cut its cord, so to speak, more easily and to move to the higher realm. But if a person is prepared, then it doesn't matter because they will immediately or soon go to the other side. They will ascend to the heavenly realm and they will increase the amount of light that they are able to carry and will begin to shine like jewels and begin to experience a whole beautiful new experience in their transition.
Thank you. Lucas asked this question. I don't have his location, but it's really a general question anyway, so it doesn't matter. He says, some life between life reports mention souls observing future lives on a huge screen and even rehearsing different scenarios of those lives. Is this reality really real? Or is it only a simulation, like a virtual reality game?
When a person goes to the heavenly realm and decides to come back and be reincarnated, they may see visions of the real visions of life in the earthly realm and make choices of what they may do, who their parents may be, how long they wish to stay, what they wish to accomplish. When they get to the earthly realm, they probably won't remember in their conscious mind any of that. However, it will be a guiding factor for their new life.
Thank you. Hayes asks, what is the reason I don't remember anything of my dreams?
When you are between sleep and waking, that is a time when it is best to remember. If when you are waking up, you take a moment and you sense where you have been, just see if you can sense anything about where you have been and what you have been in your mind like doing. It is a different reality in the dream state. And when one wakes and comes solidly into day. Then the dreams fade away very fast and do not seem to be there anymore and are not easily remembered. However, if when you are just starting to wake up, see if you can remember any dreams. Also, you do not dream every moment of the night, and it may, as you wake, not have been in your mind what you have dreamed earlier. Also, certain herbs and vitamins can enhance your memory as you wake up, and you can research online to see what herb you may want to take before you go to sleep.
Thank you. And hi, I'll tell you, one of the things I did was, your wife's going to love you for this, but I would go to sleep with a pad on my left hand and a pen on my right hand and a small light in the room. And then I would find myself waking up in the middle of the night. But just as I was waking up, I heard things in my head that was like a daydream. It was, and I wrote them down, and I started in the morning when I looked at it. It was words of guidance. And so it doesn't feel like it's that kind of stuff. That's not exactly a dream, but that kind of stuff doesn't feel like it's something outside of yourself. It seemed exactly like it was me, but it was not the normal me. And it seemed like it would be not that important to write it down, but I did. And then I said, oh, it was an external conscious. I mean, I don't want to tell that story now, but I came to the conclusion it was an external consciousness working with me, okay? So, next question. Dharmananda, I have called angels to be with me, and I can feel them here. I can see sparks of light around me. Is that them? If not, what do I need to do so I can see them? Dharmananda, Boulder Creek, California.
Thank you. If you mean is that us, we are not the angels that come there. We are beyond physical form, and we are a more diffuse energy that is there always. However, when you call in the angels, then this is a set of beings of a more heavenly realm. We are higher frequency than that. So that is not us, but we provide an energy background of love. It is very delicate and subtle and sensitive and hard for positive identification because there is little manifestation of the earth plane within our energies.
So what is Dharmananda seeing when he sees these sparks of light? I'm sure that's really his question is, what is he seeing? What do these sparks of light represent that he can see?
You are seeing angels and beings that have come to assist and to help. There is one section of the Elohim that does provide sparks of light, and these are little tiny flecks of light that one may sense when grace comes. And what the little flecks
of light in that case are the unlocking of locked up energies as the energy of grace hits your soul energy. It releases little locked up areas and it is seen as little flecks of light as these tiny areas release.
Does the Ra group show up as those sparks of light as well?
No, it is grace.
It is grace.
The section of the Elohim, they are their own section. And it ascends to people who are seeking grace in a situation.
Mm-hmm. Is the part of the element that's grace at a lower density than the part of the element Elohim we're speaking to now, or are they at a higher density?
It is a different energy with different formation in the energy, sort of like we seek an analogy of something that is manifest in your realm. It would be an analogy, it's a pretty bad analogy, but might be a hammer that breaks through a lock, and in breaking through the lock, it shoots sparks and frees an energy that has been stuck.
Thank you. Rich Buckley, question from Rich Buckley in Livermore. What are the prime functions and purposes universally of black holes? And I'll ask the sub-question, and how did they get started? Was it a part of a creation of the Elohim, or was it a byproduct of something that was created?
It is a byproduct of the spinningness of the galaxy. In the spinningness of the galaxy, the energy in the center exceeds a certain minimum wherein light is absorbed and it is, the energies are absorbable into each other, and it is a center of creation of other energies that are byproducts of the black hole, which is itself is a byproduct.
Thank you. Question here from APG. Oh, it's Alex Beaton in Ontario. Thank you, Alex. This is the first time he's asked a question. And his question is there any truth to what people say that there are certain foods, garlic, onions, and the amount and time you eat them, that they lessen the connection to higher densities? I'm a first-timer, Alex. The question is, if you eat certain foods, and he puts garlic and onions in parentheses, Italians are never going to get to heaven. If you eat certain foods, garlic and onions, and would that lessen the connection to higher densities?
That is an interesting question. We see that garlic and onions are very good for the body, and scallions, they are good for the body when too much garlic is eaten. However, it can kill off some of the beneficial bacteria. However, it is a body thing and does not affect whether you are able to ascend or move into the heavenly realm or your future when you leave the body.
Thank you. How about things, you know, some people say that skate oil or fish skate oil, everyone's going to ask me what it is, helps open your pineal gland. Also, drinking fluoridated water tends to calcify your pineal gland, and supposedly your pineal gland is one of those doors to the higher realms. Can you comment on that, please?
Part of your question was blurred. Your voice was blurred, but
I'll say it again.
Yes.
Supposedly, there are certain things that can help clear your pineal gland, which increases your connection to higher realms, at least on the higher levels, and the psychic levels, I guess. One of those things is fish skate oil or skate oil, and the other is not drinking fluoridated water, which supposedly calcifies your pineal gland. Can you comment on that?
Yes. The pineal gland is a window to outside the body. It is a remote viewing window, so one can see outside their body. And if their pineal gland is clear, drinking fluoridated water creates a thyroid problem because the thyroid needs iodine to function properly. Fluoride replaces iodine. Bromide in the bread, making of bread, also is a problem that affects the thyroid. And this then affects the glandular systems in the whole body. So when one is drinking fluoridated water or eating bromided bread, bromide is a substance that is used sometimes in the making of bread, can adversely affect the pineal gland. Skate oil from the fish helps to lubricate the body and has a substance in it that helps clear calcification. So skate oil is very good for the pineal gland. So in the connection with the exterior remotely to the surroundings that the person is in within the physical realm, having a pineal gland that's open allows one, when they know about the process, to see outside the body. When one can see outside the body, it can help with their whole mastering of the environment. However, as far as connecting with the higher realms, yes, it can also help connecting to the higher realms because remotely then one can sense them and connect. Thank you.
If one has an open pineal gland, that is really different than having an open heart, is it not? In other words, you could have an open pineal gland and perhaps not have an open heart. In fact, an open pineal gland might even create a lot of spaced outness, perhaps. Can you comment on that? But I'm not saying that's true, just asking.
An open heart is very different than being able to see and sense. They work together when they are in optimum condition, because as one can see, then if the heart is also open, one can add wisdom and love to their sense of their surroundings, and it helps them to make wiser choices.
Thank you. Let's see. Rivia in Canada asked a very long question, and I think your question might take 3 hours to answer, okay? But in general, her question asks about why the Elohim allowed the Anunnaki to go so far and to create so much negativity in control systems, and why we were created to be a slave race, and then why were we given a consciousness? The Anunnaki create other life forms like aliens. This is a book, okay? What current percentage of the Earth's population have awakened to the reality that we are all one? In other words, what current percentage of the Earth's population wants to change for the greater good? And lastly, will the insanity on this Earth ever end if enough people awaken, or is mankind doomed? Thank you for answering my questions. Let me just give a quick answer and make a comment on my answer, but I'm not going to try to even be thorough. There's a lot of interesting things about this, and originally it seems like the Anunnaki, it seems like they were working, and we're talking about hundreds of thousands or even millions of years ago, were working fairly closely in a positive way with the celestial Elohim, and they were seeding planets, and there was a whole interface going on between the celestial Elohim and the Anunnaki, and perhaps other groups like them. And then it got more negative, and the celestial Elohim granted free will to everything in this realm on its evolutionary process. And one time I asked them, I said, what happens if we just destroy all the negative? And they said, they would just come back in another world in the future to do exactly what they're doing now. And apparently they can't be destroyed. Then there was something in the raw material about this. This is a very interesting idea that really is something to think about, which was that at one point, remember, each thing in the physical universe makes the rules of engagement around it. That's the free will aspect. So like a parent can bring up their child any way they want. The Earth can create the rules of engagement for its inhabitants, the sun for the solar system, et cetera, et cetera. So there were times when the rules of engagement in a planet, the solar system, were set up so everything was really easy and loving, and that people would have a good time or a pleasant time. And what happened was, according to the raw material, these people that ended up in that in that stream of engagement where things were easy, ended up not evolving. They ended up hanging around in that space because it was fun, because it was enjoyable, and it took, you know, the length of time, I don't remember the specifics, was way, way long in that particular environment where the rules of engagement were easy. And they learned that polarity caused a more speeded up evolution. Thus, somehow, the negative came in to create the polarization so that beings would evolve. And it's like being in the pressure cooker where the only way out is up. So either you go up or you stay in the pressure cooker. And that the beings that would go up, and we're talking about not one lifetime, we're talking about a thousand lifetimes or hundreds of lifetimes. So that the duality was part of the pressure cooker that created the evolution that would cause people to move up the dimensions. And that's all I want to say about that. It's a very good topic, and it's not an easy one. And I know Luzia really is appalled by all the suffering that goes on in this world. Perhaps you could say something about how one can cope with the suffering that people do because they're caught in this dualistic realm. Thank you.
Thank you. When one looks at the whole subject based upon the whole range of lifetimes that one has had, the universe allows for one to get higher and higher and to build a bigger and bigger tower and to assume more and more power. And the bigger the tower, when the person falls, the harder they fall. Sometimes a person who has built a big tower will fall, and in the fall, they will learn what it is like to suffer as they have caused suffering. This is one of the ways that the universe teaches lessons to each person, so that if they have caused suffering, then eventually they will fall, and they will then receive the impetus to suffer, and hopefully through that will learn the lesson of humility. Thank you.
Thank you. Don Herman asks, I have what I believe an early childhood memory of playing in my front yard, looking up and seeing something which could have been a blimp. Can the sources tell me if this is a real memory? And if so, what did I see?
Thank you. Yes, this was a real memory. We look at it from your point of view and see the blip. And is that correct that he saw a blip?
A blimp.
Blimp.
He says, which could have been a blimp, okay? He didn't say it was a blimp. He says, could have been a blimp. Obviously, probably the question in his mind is, did he see a flying saucer? Or a UFO?
And it was a blimp and looked in the sky, and it was dark in the area of the blimp. And we do not Yeah, let's look for the... We do not see that it was a flying saucer. But it was a real memory, and what you saw looks like a blimp in the sky.
Thank you. When you look at something like that, do you move into the person's consciousness and rewind to that incident?
It just appears as it is come up. It is up front. It is. There are visions that when they happen, they are very clear, and then they recede into the subconscious. And we see that there are layers. Layers over layers over layers, and as one looks into one layer, the layer below is opening up and becoming ready to be viewed. This is how when someone is viewing their past lives, if they get a flashing image or a dream, and then they get it again, then it can be the start of the opening of the layers, and layer by layer, a little more can come off, and one can see more about their past, and it makes a clear picture of who they are and where they've been.
Thank you. A question from Peter Castaneda. He just sent it in, and I think I can give a quick answer and then I'll turn it over to our sources. It was brought up how certain frequencies are good for certain parts or organs of our body, but it was never explained in detail. Is it possible to ask our sources how we can use these frequencies to heal ourselves? Peter, let me just say very quickly, this may not be exactly the right answer, but there are a lot of people that have frequency healing devices on the internet. Probably one of the most famous is called the Rife machine. And Royal Rife, R-I-F-E. And he was doing a huge amount of healing with that. But that machine was designed in general to kill pathogens in the body by tuning into their resonant frequency. Now, there probably, and people have found frequencies that do other things, that calm you, that do all kinds of things. And on that, let me just turn it over to our sources and see if what they would add to that answer.
Very often, when a person is healed, it is due to a foreign DNA, bacteria, or other substance that has invaded the body. And when one applies the proper frequency to it, it can kill that pathogen or that parasite. And that is mainly the way that Rife machine works. When one can use ultrasound, this is another way of being healed when it is used properly. When one is wishing to go to sleep and may listen to the vibrations of very peaceful music, this can help. Vibrations in the music can get one excited. The vibrations resonate with the body, and the body resonates then at that frequency. There is a frequency that is optimum in the body, and when that frequency is solid, then the person can heal the best, the more energy that a person can receive in the body, the more if one is having an alkaline environment, it is very healing for the body, as these frequencies of the alkalinity provide extra electrons to the body, which the body can then use to mend and heal.
Thank you. You know what? It's time to close our session down tonight. We got, I think, most of the questions in. A couple I didn't get in. Rich, a question about half dome, keep that moving. I'll ask it eventually. And another question I didn't do tonight was from, let me see here. Remember, if I don't answer your question, it doesn't mean that it's Lori Lee. Ask your question again. I think I might answer that one. And if you asked a question, I didn't answer it, ask it again. And if I really think it's not appropriate, I'll let you know. But if you keep asking it, good chance it indicates a high intent on your part to get the answer, and that I will respond to your high intent. So on that note, I'm going to unmute everybody. Thanks for your patience at the beginning of the call. We had some great answers tonight. Thank you, Terry. And we'll see you all, or some of you, or those of you that show up.